Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider. And together we will explore these truths through humor, conscious conversation, poetry, music, skits, and hopefully your comments, because you can call in at 888-627-6008. Those are magic numbers. Because if you call in, it's going to be magic for all of us. Once again, get your pen. 888-627-6008.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods and the organic section of Costco, among other places. And for those of you who are fortunate to have a Trader Joe's, and it is good fortune. That's why we moved to California, wasn't it, dear, to be near a Trader Joe's?
And the Redwoods. And the Pacific Ocean.
Not necessarily in that order. Anyway, go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about Go Raw products. And I always like to say to people, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, brought to you by Go Raw. Now, tell me, somebody didn't arrange that. Some little cosmic jokester was at play. So tonight, we're going to go on a journey. That's right. In and through life, and we're going to explore that issue with you. We've got to have some guests. We've got the Traveler coming in a little later, and I've got some wonderful journey songs. So I hope you got your feet ready to get on at least a mental journey and maybe stand up and tap your toes when we get to the music.
The journey. Well, tonight, I want to say happy birthday to Alma. I know you may not be listening, Alma, but I know you're there. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. The journey. We don't know it when we start out, but one day when we're older and maybe wiser, we get it. We've been on a journey. We are on a journey. And all the adventures we've had have made this journey fascinating, fun, terrifying, tremulous, expanding, and at least edifying. There is also a point in our journey when we might be curious enough to ask, where are we going? Of course, once we ask that question, answers become part of that journey and lead to more questions. It is so ongoing, one might believe that though these physical bodies might end, that our journey is never ending. It might even be an infinite journey. Sometimes I think my journey is like a stone thrown into the still water of life, spreading its circles ever wider with no shore to interrupt its expansion. I am that stone, and I have dropped into my journey, and I feel its expansiveness. As my body begins to shrink into mortality, my soul is continuing to grow. So feeling this, all my stories just add juice to my soul. I have not received a concise answer to the where. There are many answers in the ether of our minds. But one thing I've learned on this journey, as I am ready, I am given what I'm able to digest in terms of my truth. And so I take in the landscape, open myself up to the continuing adventures, and drop into its wonder.
See the things I long to see. Where to see where you travel down this road with me.
I like that.
Will you travel down the road with me, with us tonight? This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We are coming to you live from our beautiful place here, Lupin Lodge, where we have 110 pristine acres, because I picked up a cigarette butt today. Somebody left it near the front entrance.
So now it's very pristine. Thank you for making it more pristine. Who sang that song?
Oh, that was George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Anyway, my mom used to sing me a version of that. It sounded just like except it was in Hebrew.
Right. It's going to be a terrible night.
Terrible night. I can tell right away. Well, you know, part of the journey is I kind of waver off to the side, and there's tempting paths of silliness everywhere you look if you keep your eyes open, and you can just fall into that silliness like, you know, nobody's business.
Well, you are a silly man, so you must fall into it a lot.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm going to move away from my silly nature now and share a quote from you. This is from a book called The Keys of Yeshua. Now, Yeshua, you may or may not know, was actually the name that came to be the name in Greek of Jesus, a philosopher kind of guy back in 2000, or depending upon how you view that personage.
No, honey, not back in 2000, 2,000 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I knew that. Anyway, one of the chapters in this book, one of the talks he gives, as shared through Glenda Green, who wrote the book or was the scribe, is to remind us that we're on a, well, let him speak for himself, and then we'll talk a little bit about the journey and motion. This is what he had to say. You are on a great adventure, and you have traveled far. Love has ventured into remote places. So each soul, through unique experiences, could know itself as an individual and eventually arrive at its fulfillment within the heart of God. The Creator, in all his great wisdom and boundless love, propelled himself as love into countless dimensions and particles of love, which are his children. As love, you were created in the image of your source, and each point of consciousness seeks to know itself as I am. With all journeys, there are surprises and mystery, forgetfulness and awakening, discovery and learning, abandonment and forsaking. As the adventure unfolded and personalities began to emerge with radically different qualities, it seemed that each was not only separate from the others, but from its source as well. Birthing has been a painful experience for many souls because the illusion of separation was believed to be real, and the comparison of divergent pathways was also used often to discriminate, deny, alienate, abuse, and reject. Such diversity has also provided a magnificent symphony of interrelated possibilities.
Interrelated possibilities.
Yeah, so, yeah, here we got all these interrelated possibilities. I mean, I'm looking out the window right now, and I'm looking at the woods. I'm looking at these life forms, and these trees have grown up, and we can imagine the roots underneath them and all these interrelated root systems and ecosystems and social systems. And it's the tapestry out of which this journey that we ride comes into play. And what I get from what he says is that each of us has the opportunity to create the kind of journey we want it to be. And as obstacles are thrown in our way, that's the adventure, that's the challenge, that's the opportunity to create the new possibilities. So on one hand, it's good to welcome all the obstacles and the challenges. And the one thing we have to watch out for, and that's the devil's mischief. And you know what I think the devil's mischief is?
No.
Fear.
Yes. And also, but it relates to me when you say this and you read these things, I'm also very aware that it requires a certain amount of consciousness to glean something from a trip. Like, I know as a tiny child, when we'd go someplace with my parents, you know, like, yeah, I saw things and it was fun to play in different places, but the difference of the places wasn't as effective as it was. It was just another place to play. But the uniqueness of that place didn't hit me until I got older. And when I got older and then I went somewhere, you know, that then I allowed myself to drink in the differences, to allow the differences to become part of who I was. And I think as a child, I was much more frightened of the differences. I think that's part of being a child. It's like your world is so closed in, you know, that if you see too much outside, it becomes overwhelming. And as you mature, then that which is external to you and even internal to you becomes more, I'll say, user-friendly. That you're able to use it and play with it and grow from it and interact with it. And this interconnectedness can happen. But I don't think that on a conscious level that can happen when you're immature.
Well, let's consider that possibility through a piece that we're going to share with you. It's called.
I wanted to hear what Joseph might have had to say about that.
Joseph,
did you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring it up just like that, because I guess I'm at a point in my journey where it's switching from looking at the differences as the opportunity instead of just resisting the differences, because, you know, with fear comes resisting, you know, all kinds of things. And if you're not embracing it as something positive, it's more than likely the opposite of that, and it's negative. So I've actually recently had some struggles dealing with that. And so trying to see the positive opportunity out of these differences that I almost automatically want to resist is difficult sometimes, but takes some patience and some ownership and some drive to want to turn it around and make your journey what you want it to be instead of, you know, not what you want it to be.
People are probably wondering, who is this voice?
Well, Joseph has
the mystery man.
Recently moved here. He's a young man. Well, young in comparison to who we are. But I think of him as a very wise young man.
He's a very wise young man. But in spite of his deep, you know, resonant voice, he's actually 2 feet 6 inches.
Which no, is he's not.
Really, I kind of fit in Rochelle's pocket, actually,
right.
Most of the time.
Oh, God.
It takes a lot.
I don't think so.
Well, I want to address what you just brought up, and then we're going to do this piece called The Traveler, and that is what I've learned as I've encountered these obstacles on the journey, and what often is not easily recognized, because we tend to see that there's the problem, it's over there, and I'm over here, and it's going to get me, or blah, 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 or I have to get it. But what I'm finding is that every obstacle is an opportunity for me to expand and include this dichotomy. And then I will naturally, inevitably find a way to unify it, because I now include it instead of polarizing myself from it being over here and it's over there. Just go ahead and include both of it, both parts of it. And then the
Well, I'm glad that's finally happening.
Well,
I feel very included
it
now.
It happened a week ago, one night for about 3 seconds.
But you know what it feels like. That's
yeah,
the most important thing.
Yeah, at least I have that 3-second grounded moment. Thank you. Thank you. I know what it feels like, even though I spend the other 24 hours, 948 seconds or whatever it is. Can we do this piece now?
Oh, sure. We can do it.
I'd like to share that this piece called The Traveler, when I first started doing the work, as I saw it at that time in the late 60s and early 70s, wanting to communicate a spiritual potentiality that I was just embarking on at that point, and in a way to describe my journey, but through characters and metaphors and parables. And I was inspired to actually start sharing these stories and sketches and playlets, etc., with people. And this is the first one I ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, this is like 71. And, yeah.
1971?
Around there, yeah.
Wow. First For a lot of people, wrote. That's way before they were born or even thought of.
Right.
Well, because there's also a lot of people who are that age today.
Okay. And just as parenthetically, I did the first one at a church in Berkeley, a Presbyterian church. And when I sat down in the pews after I finished, I thought, what if they ask me back? I don't have another piece. So I started writing a piece right there and then in the pews. It was The Employer. And,
oh, wow.
And I will share that with you later, because this employer is a monologue I do. That's probably the piece I've done more than any other single piece. But that's another time. Here we go. This is The Traveler. Going to have a little musical intro, and then we're going to take it from there. Okay? And here we go.
Figure moving abreast of some cosmic flow motioned to a little boy.
Come
with
me.
I know the direction.
But who are you?
I am a traveler who has gone this way before.
Huh? But how do I know I want to go that way? Where will it take me?
Well, where are you now? And where is it taking you? The little boy began to squirm, for he did not know, and yet he said,
it's a fine way. My way's a good way.
There was silence as the traveler, reticent, smiled benignly upon the little boy.
Well, you seem very assured of yourself.
Yes, I've traveled this way before.
Well, why should I look at your way? What will it offer me?
Everything.
Now, what do you mean by that?
The little boy was very upset, for he had not considered the possibility of the other way, nor even that it existed. He didn't want to think about it. It made him nervous. He was afraid of new possibilities and confined himself to old ways by building great, big, high walls around himself and his old possibilities. But he didn't know this about himself. He just thought the traveler was being offensive. Would you like to have everything always?
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Goodbye.
The boy said petulantly, and he hurried away. Always frightened the little boy. He thought of always in terms of his own old ways, his own possibilities. Doing them always frightened him. This is why he said goodbye to the stranger. But the traveler was greatly persistent. He appeared several years later. My, but you seem very taken with what you're doing. You must be very interesting and very worthwhile.
Well, oh yeah,
replied the boy, who is now older.
Very worthwhile.
Measured against what standard? The traveler asked sincerely. The boy was taken aback.
What standard?
Well, yes. How do you measure its worth? An answer graciously plopped into the boy's mind. Much to his relief, he replied,
it brings me pleasure.
Pleasure. You are a very bright boy, pronounced the traveler. Again, there occurred a few years' pause. And how are you doing now? Are you still having pleasure? The young fellow could not lie, for it was very apparent that he was experiencing great trouble.
Hey, man, can't you see I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, man? I'm in a lot of pain.
Oh, yes, I can see that.
Just as smug and self-assured as ever, I see.
These words did not affect the traveler. She persisted, asking, "What are your plans?"
My plans?
The boy had not formulated any plans. He merely acted.
Plans for what?
For what you will be doing next.
Next?
Yes, after you've finished what you're doing now. The young lad did not want to admit that he had not made any plans, nor that he had ever even considered doing anything else.
Hey, man, I don't need to be making no plans. God, I got enough to keep me busy right here where I am.
And he reimmersed himself in his activities and totally ignored the traveler. Many years passed. The young lad had grown into a fine man. He even had solved some of his problems. One day, he unexpectedly came upon the traveler again. He was surprised. He had all but forgotten the traveler. But the traveler had not forgotten him. "Ah, I've seen you've done fairly well for yourself. I congratulate you. What are you up to now?" At first, the man was puzzled by this familiar address. He had become somewhat reserved since he had begun solving some of his problems, so he answered by asking indignantly,
"Were you speaking to me, sir? I don't know that we've met."
"Oh, you're right. We've never actually met," confirmed the traveler. "But we have spoken a few times, don't you remember?" A vague memory of their earlier meetings came into the man's mind.
"Oh, yeah, I remember now. You're the fellow who, what did you do anyway?"
"I travel a great deal. Thank you for asking."
"Well, I'm a rather busy man now. What do you want?"
"I wanted to show you the way, but you weren't interested. I had hoped you might have changed your mind."
"Way? What way? What on earth are you talking about? Can't you see I'm a very busy man? I haven't got time to play riddle games. Way. Are you trying to sell me something? That's it. Who do you represent anyway?"
But the man did not wait for an answer. He became occupied with something irrelevant, and it occupied him for many years. In fact, to the end of his life. When the traveler again appeared, the day the old man was being wheeled down his driveway.
"Who's that on my property? You there, can't you read signs? This is private property."
"Oh, yes, so it is. I've talked to you many years ago. Don't you remember? I wanted to ask you again, have you made any plans as yet?"
"Plans? I make plans all the time. What kind of a silly question is that?"
The old man wheezed as they took him away, and then he died. But he woke up. He was not a boy anymore, or even an old man. He was something quite different. He barely recognized himself.
"Is this me? Is this me?"
He looked.
He looked around for something to relate to, but it all seemed so strange. There were faces, however, sort of, but not faces as he remembered them. But then he couldn't remember faces very well in order to compare them. But somehow he felt that these shapes were faces. When was that? An image appeared in his mind, then another. What does that refer to, he wondered. There were more images, and then he remembered he had been alive. And then there was sleep, and now confusion. And it was at this point a strange sound called him out of his struggle. It was a voice, the sound of, well, it said,
"Hello."
"What?" stammered the one-time human being, now deceased, but somehow still perceiving.
"Hello."
Again came a vaguely familiar voice.
"Welcome. This will be your new home, temporarily."
"Where am I? I don't understand."
"You have survived."
"Survived?"
"Survived mortal death. You are now on a higher level of existence."
You mean I died?
The astonished ex-human asked.
Well, you might put it that way. In reality, you only changed your body vehicle so that you can continue on your journey.
My journey?
Toward freedom.
I didn't know I was on that journey.
I know. I know you didn't. But you are, and you'd best get with it. You have a long way to go. You have to pick up just where you left off.
Where was that?
Being crotchety and avoiding me.
What do you mean, being crotchety? Grouched the new arrival.
You were generally unpleasant in your efforts to avoid me and the way.
The way? Huh. The way. I see. I think I remember those words. Well, who are you and what is this way anyway?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. I am your guide, your traveling companion. I will show you the way to live in the most splendid possible way. I offer you my services to lead you through your development to freedom. I tried to help you when you were mortal, but you were too busy to listen.
You mean, all you wanted to do is guide me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would have happened if I didn't let you?
Oh, you would have been much more of value to those around you. As it is, you made only a tiny contribution to others and derived only a small amount of comfort and pleasure for yourself. If you would have let me help you, you would have made tremendous contributions to your fellows. You could have been godlike.
Godlike? The new arrival barked with annoyance. What does all this have to do with God?
Well, a lot, actually. Remember, freedom is where you're headed, and I am your guide, the way.
Huh. Can I still make the journey, even though I didn't really start much on Earth?
Yes. Yes. But you could have been much further along by now. It was a shame you wasted the wonderful opportunity you had as a mortal to uplift your planet. But don't despair. Others will do it. Now we must concern ourselves with making up for what you missed on Earth.
Well, the newcomer felt very strange as he tried to remember back to his life on Earth. But he couldn't remember very much of it. Mr. Wei, why can't I remember more of my life on Earth?
Because there's just so little worth remembering, the guide said as gently as possible. But you needn't worry. You can make up for it here and from now on if you'd like. The choice is still, as it always has been, yours.
Mine? Well, what do I do first? Asked the traveler.
Just follow me, answered the guide. So my question after doing this and reading it and was for the people who are listening is, what is this guide? I mean, who is this guide? Who is this guide in our lives? Do we have a guide? And who hears it? Who hears the guide?
Well, if you're one of those people that hears a guide or you'd like to know how to get in touch with the guide, you can call us right now, 888-627-6008. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. I'm Errol Strider, banging the music stand. I am such a klutz, as Rochelle will.
Oh, he really is. He's amazing.
For someone on the journey and for someone who is a dancer, I am a klutz. Like, I can knock stuff over without even trying.
That's true. I think it's interesting that the phone rang during the piece, and I was thinking that was a guide.
That was maybe it was.
And we didn't answer it.
We should have answered. You reminded me of a book called The Listener, Taylor Caldwell. Remember that book?
I remember Taylor
Caldwell. If you want
Taylor
to read a book that kind of introduces you to the whole idea, if not a guide, the character is a listener, and it's a wonderful book about these people that go into this little place, it's kind of a temple, and this person just listens. So I think the guide is also the listener.
Well, yeah, you listen to hear the guide. But the thing is that, like, when you wrote this, I'm asking you these questions. When you wrote this, did you feel you had a guide?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That you heard in your head.
I heard it a few times, yes. I heard it. I remember one time it said that you better go to the bathroom soon because you're in big... never mind.
Errol.
That was terrible.
Silly. He just steps into silliness.
I step all over the silliness. There I stepped in some doo-doo silliness. No, I actually did hear some guides a couple times in very specific ways, not the least of which was the first way I actually heard it. I had begun this journey, this that I didn't know was a spiritual journey. I just kind of raised the question. That's how I got on the journey. I asked the question, what am I here for? What's going on? What's doing?
Yeah, and I alluded to that, and the opening is like that question that we ask, or some of us, at some point, or maybe all of us at some point, I don't know, you know, in terms of our journey, is where are we going? And are we going just to end our mortality and that's it? And so take as much and as you can along the way. And
what a waste to think that...
Well, I don't know. For most people, it's not a waste. For most people, if the consciousness is such that you don't ask the question, where am I going, with great sincerity, then you're not open to getting the answers to that. So then whatever's in front of you is what you do and where you go. And you get on a bus, you get in a car, you get on a motorcycle, you just go wherever you feel like it. I mean, it's a physical journey. In other words, when you said a spiritual journey, so we're now defining the journey. Because we all have a physical journey, every one of us. That's clear. But a spiritual journey is you have to ask the question on a greater scale to discover the answers to that, to where you're going, in that way.
Seven summits, and I swam the seven seas, but the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Well, I fought in the jungles, and I fought in the streets, but the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Well, once I had a reason, don't know what it could be, and the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Well, I sang to myself that I want to be free, but the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. I walked the empty desert and was burned in the heat, but the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Well, I crossed the frozen wasteland, in the bitter cold did freeze, and the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. And I will knock on every door, for I do not have a key, and the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Well, I sang to myself that I wanna be free, but the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. Soho, couldn't guess his age. I found his empty journal, I filled up every page. I called up my state senator. They said he wasn't there. The secretary took my name, and man, she sounded scared. So I counted my misfortunes. I added up the blame. I picked through all the garbage. I checked off all the names. I read in the newspaper. They questioned all my friends. They hoped that they could find my ass before I struck again. So I sang to myself that I wanna be free. But the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. And so when thirsty I will drink, and when hungry I will steal. But the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. In anger, with worn shoes on my feet, and the road I must travel, its end I cannot see. And I will sing to myself that I'm gonna be free, but the road I must travel, yeah, its end I cannot see.
And that was The Road I Must Travel, in case you didn't know the title, by Tom Morello from an album called The Night Watchman.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
I thought that was just right in keeping. Joseph, Joe, do you got any thoughts, comments here? We've been putting a lot of, you're representing the entire rest of the world audience, by the way.
No pressure. So
I don't want to put any pressure on you, young man, but stand up straight.
Yes, sir. No, I think that the show so far is really going great. And I was thinking about what Rochelle was just saying at the end of just before that last song, and how we have this physical journey and we have this spiritual journey, and asking the question, you know, of kind of where is it going? Why am I here? And, you know, what's going on? And I think that they are two separate journeys at times and very much so related. And I think that when I think of my own life, there's times where when I ask the question of where this is going in my spiritual journey, oftentimes it's where I'm having some turmoil in my physical journey. You know, when things are going great for me with work and home and everything else, sometimes I tend to not pay close attention to my physical journey. And then when things start getting a little rough, you know, the waters get rough, and you start wondering what's going on and how to fix it. And it gets to be more of a bigger question than just like, you know, in your physical body and in your physical realm of just earth. But it starts to become more of a question to me anyways of kind of, am I on the path I want to be on? Is the path I'm on right now working out? And how so? And, you know, I start to weigh all these thoughts. And oftentimes I feel like I really don't get anywhere. But it takes time, I think, to filter through some of these thoughts and slow them down and really think about them. And otherwise, it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, because all our journeys can be rocky. And I think you said something that triggered off something in me when you said that, you know, when my physical journey gets aborted or gets difficult, then you switch to... What was that? We're having travelers all over the place pop tonight. Pop-up people.
I think that's called a pop-up. Pop-up.
So the thing, I read this thing in a book once that said that, like, the greatest affliction is never to have been afflicted. And when you just said what you said, I thought, well, yeah, because that pushes us beyond the physical. It's like, it's so uncomfortable. You go, I hope this isn't all there is. You know, this pain or this turmoil or this discomfort, you know, in my body. I hope there's more than that, you know. And then you move out of that dark place and into a light. And it feels like you learned something from that journey. You know, something happened to you. Something got glued to you that's a little bit more than it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very true. I think that it can be a time when you start asking for a guide, you know, some kind of guide, whether it's your belief and that, or a mentor or someone who's been through something you've been through or going through, or just you start to realize it's outside yourself. You might not have the answer and it might not be within your grasp, but it's possibly within someone else's, but it surely goes into a higher realm of there's got to be someone else who knows this.
That reminds me of a poem I wrote. It goes like this. It's a short poem. On a walk or pacing, as I stare into grass, dirt, or concrete, when I want to really focus in to perceive him, I gaze as into nothing, the ground within, to walk in the experience of knowing I am accompanied.
Wow. Yeah.
And to me, that's really significant. It has been in my life to know that there is a companion. And that companion has my best interest at heart. And the paradox is that companion is actually a deeper aspect of my very self.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's enough of a different voice that it feels like, you know, I walk with a friend. And then I think the journey of life is to make such good friends with the friend that I am the best friend of myself.
Yeah, it's like you, the highest of you is your best friend. I had this experience. I was living in Israel, and I guess I was in my very early 30s, and I had this relationship that had gone completely kaput, awry, horrible, and the emotional pain was just unbearable. And I remember thinking, let me die. I just want to die, you know. Being as dramatic as possible by myself, walking on this road. And it was a very, very small road. And then there was a curve around a... so I couldn't see on the other side of the road. And as I got to that place where I could just start to see, there was this huge truck, which I didn't even hear because I was such turmoil about my own misery. And there was this big truck, and it was like, there it was. I wanted to die. If I'd stayed there, that he could not have seen me, I would have been smushed and gone, right? And I walked off the road. I just stepped right off it. And I just started to laugh afterwards, and I said, who stepped off this road? Because the mortal me that was in such turmoil wanted to die was not the one who just graciously stepped aside to let the truck pass and not kill me. There was something more to me at that moment, and I became aware of it.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. My love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Thank you. love is making music with my friend. And I can't wait to get on the road again. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
I think we know who that was. Willie Boy.
Willie Nelson.
You know, I just, as you were playing that, and as I was thinking about the journey, I realized that giving yourself over to the journey, in other words, not resisting the journey, creates the real adventure. Like the time we were in Arkansas, and we took a canoe trip in Arkansas. We had our two children with us at the time. I think one was 13, the other was 9. And because we'd never been in a canoe before, the two of us, or the four of us together, and we were totally unprepared. We had nothing in the canoe but us and flip-flops. And we hit a tree very early in the journey. We hit a branch of a tree that was in the middle of the river, and the whole canoe submerged right away. And we didn't know where we were except in Arkansas. And the only thing I had ever known about Arkansas was through the movie Deliverance, and that was terrifying. So sorry to anybody who lives in Arkansas. I have since come to know you as lovely people, but nevertheless, at that moment, I was totally ignorant. And all I knew is we were now in the middle of a river, sunk. And Errol...
We weren't sunk. The canoe was sunk.
Right. And Errol said... He was going to go for help, but he didn't have any shoes, and our son had...
My flip-flops had somehow ended up going down the river. I don't know where they
and,
went.
And our son said he'd give his father... Well, actually, his father asked him for his water shoes, you know, so he had now shoes. And he's taking off in the middle of nowhere into the woods. Yeah. And I'm sitting with my two sons in this little... there was a tiny little, like, island in the middle of the river. Sandy Island. And we were sitting there together trying to keep warm, and... My youngest son said, "Are we ever going to see Daddy again?" You know, and the truth is, I didn't know if we were ever going to see him again. He'd gone away, and this is where his story picks up, and this is where the adventure begins.
Well, what happened to me was, of course, I started going toward one side of the river, toward the bank, and the water looked really yellow. It looked really yellow, and I was thinking water moccasins or something.
They were there.
Or water flip-flops. And then I went to the other side, and the bank was very steep. But I did see a cow kind of at the top looking at me.
Well, that's civilized.
Sort of, yes. But yeah, it was civilized. So then I did finally find my way up into the woods, and I had no reference point whatsoever. But I heard a dog. It was the only thing. I heard a dog barking, so I decided to go in the direction of the dog. And I went to the dog, and sure enough, I came out onto this clearing, and there was a Doberman Pinscher barking at me. In front of this, well, large shack. I don't know how else to describe it. And I raised my hand, and I think I said something like, "I come in peace."
To the dog?
Yeah. I'm not, and I taste terrible. You don't want me. You know, I'll give you rabies. You know what I was thinking? If you bite into me, you're done for. So anyway, the dog actually disappeared, and I think it turned into two cats, because all of a sudden there were two cats there. And I think it just transmogrified. That's what they call when dogs move into...
We have just so much time. Get on with the story here.
Okay, right, we are running out of time. Okay, so what happened was there was a shack, but it was no one was there, and I couldn't get in. So I walked up the road to see if there was and no homes anywhere, nothing other than the shack. So at a certain point, I decided I got to break in to the shack in Deliverance movie. And so I pushed open the kitchen window, kind of, it didn't break the window, but kind of moved it. And I stepped into the sink where the kitchen window was. Fortunately, the sink was empty. And because I had seen a phone out from the window as I looked across the room, and I thought, I can get to that phone. And sure enough, I got to the phone. This was like in 1980 something, wasn't it?
I didn't forget the dates.
Never mind the dates. Who cares? Who's counting? And so then I went to the phone and I picked it up and I dialed 911, and they and told my situation, and they said, "Where are you?" And that was a showstopper. I didn't know the foggiest. I think I said something like, "I'm on a river in Arkansas."
Can you be more specific, sir?
Exactly. Can you be? Well, I don't know. We took this canoe and we're on this river, and it's in Arkansas. You know the name of the river? Well, I don't actually know the name of the river, but it's in Arkansas. And okay, and so we proceeded, and I said, wait a minute. Let me see if I can figure out where. It's near a canoe rental place on the river in Arkansas. So I knew that, and maybe I can find out where it is. And I looked across the room, and I saw some envelopes, and I thought maybe they're envelopes mailed to these people, and I could see where it is that I actually am. So, you know, keep this in the mind of the context of life's journey. You know, this is what's going on. So I go get the envelopes and I went to look at it, but guess what? I didn't have my reading glasses. And no matter, we got to wrap this up, no matter how far or close, I could not see it. You know, I'm squinting. I'm saying, well, I don't know, but it's, to make a long story less long,
please.
I finally mentioned that we had stopped by this historical church on the way up there, and I remember the name was Winona Church. And once I remember the name of the church, they're on the King River, and they said, "Oh, yeah, the King River is notorious for the biggest, baddest water moccasins ever."
He did not say that. He didn't say that.
No, water flip-flops. That's what they said.
Come on.
Anyway, and they find, oh, so.
They came, they got
they
came, him.
They came, drove up. It wasn't that far by car. It would have been a long way by canoe. And then we turned back to Rochelle's part of the story.
Yeah, I was just trying to keep my sons warm. We formed a threesome where one of us was always in the middle, and one was in front, one was in the back, and the one in the back rubbed the back of the person in the middle, and the person in the middle rubbed the back. And then we'd switch, and we told stories. And we told stories. And then it started to get dark, and the kids were a little scared. And I said, "It's going to be all right." And then we heard, "Rochelle!" And our friends who had gone to the canoe place to meet us, we didn't show up. They took the canoe upstream, and they found us. And we went back, and the most glorious fireflies were along the whole banks as we went back to find Errol, who we thought might have been dead, but he was resurrected. And that was the end of the story, but it was such a glorious story that we'll never forget, because we didn't plan it. It was a story that it happened and then became this wonderful adventure, and we all survived, because if we hadn't survived, we wouldn't be telling it.
It had some potential danger to it. I remember at one point, this is where my mind tends to go, and I was lost, and I was first getting out of the river, and I was thinking, this could be it. This is the death of Errol. You know, my mind goes so dramatic. Anyway, let's recoup. We've got just a couple minutes left. I hope you've been able to go on this journey with us tonight. This is Errol Strider with his partner in life, Rochelle. And this is Insight at the Naked Truth. We've had a guest, Joseph. Joseph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joseph Alan Long. Is that okay?
That's
you can
okay.
Tell your whole family to listen to it on archives if they don't listen to it live.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, any concluding thoughts in terms of your own journey? We have about 30 seconds for you, if you want to share something.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in lieu of that last story, don't be too resistant to your journey, and know that it can change and you can change it.
That's right. Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Not the river.
Especially when you're on a river.
Right. Yeah.
And in this case, they had to go against the flow in order for us to go with the flow,
right.
Our friends. They're paddling upriver. We'll be back next week and with on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And we've picked a topic that I think is just It's like the dark horse of human consciousness. We don't really give it enough thought or appreciation, and that is making the exchange. Let me just give you a hint. Everything that happens in life, in existence, no matter what, is about making an exchange. And so we're going to look into that next week. And you can go to our website and see us video live on video, www.thelaughingheart.org.
And we want you to know that this tonight's show is being brought to you by Go Raw. Go to goraw.com to find out all about their products, which are really, really delicious and organic, healthy, wonderful.
It'll keep you healthy on your journey.
And you can, absolutely, it's great journey food. In fact, the food we saw at Trader Joe's was just for that. It was food, trail food.
Trail mix. There you got it. You got trail mix.
For your journey.
The other thing I'd like to say, just to wrap it up, is that we're not alone. We are accompanied. And at the very least, you can contact us, and we will be people who will accompany you on your journey. If you have any questions, any thoughts, or you just need a friend, let us know. You can email us at estrider@gmail.com. estrider@gmail.com.
And remember, resistance is what you add to
pain
to make it last longer and hurt more.
That indeed is the truth of it. And as I said, we'll be back next week. And by the way, we are broadcasting from a beautiful place, Lupin Lodge, and it's wonderful. There's a very free spirit here that we're developing and cultivating, that's evolving the journey we have here. And as we like to say to people, our mission is to provide a clean, safe, healthy, nurturing, natural environment where people can come and feel free in body, mind, and spirit. So with that, we're going to say goodnight and see you next week.
Good night.